Are the new rules involving riskier trading by banks, like putting in a new kitchen or bathroom? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Was it a minor nip and tuck or an overhaul? The Federal Reserve, in its role of banking system overseer, took a key piece of regulation aimed at preventing future bank bailouts and has come up with version two of what's called the Volcker Rule. It still needs to be finalized. Banks used to take a lot of risks for fun and profit, but under this rule, put in after the great financial collapse, they were limited in this risky but often profitable undertakings, and they had to get permission when they did it. And here to help us grasp what the Fed now wants to do, let's turn to Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington. Good morning, Karen.
Morning, David.
All right. Trying to wrap our heads around what did change with the Volcker Rule, isn't it a little like, you know, typically you get a building permit if you want to redo your kitchen in your house, and then the government that gives you that, and then you do the thing, and they come for an inspection. The deal now under the Volcker Rule is you don't need the permit, but you better not screw it up because they could always come in and inspect?
Sort of. The deal is, first, you get a giant rule book that you have to comply with all by yourself. But the real difference, I think, between renovating a kitchen or building a house and trading is that banks trade trillions every day. It's a gigantic, fluid, bing, bing, bing type market. And having to get that permit for each trade has, in fact, really slowed it down so that a lot of the liquidity in the market has been undermined with potentially risky consequences.
Right, but what about bigger financial institutions, the bigger banks that we've been worried about since the last financial crisis? Can they start taking bigger risks that could be dangerous to the system?
Anyone who's looked at the hundreds of pages that this new rule puts in place would say no. The rules remain for the biggest 18 trading banks in the United States. The rules are still very, very tough.
But the Volcker Rule is not the only change to the post-crisis legislation. Are you concerned it's going to add up to dangerous risk for the financial system?
I frankly worry a lot more about risks in the non-bank sector, whether it's the potentially predatory lending that the CFPB may well go too easy on, or the so-called shadow banks, under still, to this day, no rules. If the Trump administration starts really rolling back the rules on the biggest banks, I think we should worry about that. But in fact, so far, the rules are tough, and they may well get tougher. The Fed is about to finalize a couple of new rules that will be, I think, very tough on the biggest banks.
Something important to watch. Karen Shaw-Petru at Federal Financial Analytics. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers, which are going every which way at the start here. The Dow is down 0.5%, 133 points. The NASDAQ composite is up 0.1%. The S&P 500 is down 0.2%. U.S. consumer spending rose 0.6% in April, the most in half a year. The big count of jobs and the unemployment rate covering May is due tomorrow morning. John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Who says there's not enough love in this world? Big business seems to be besotted by the President of the United States. The cover of The Economist magazine this week reads, "The Affair, Why Corporate America Loves Donald Trump." Patrick Fowles, New York Bureau Chief for The Economist, came round to discuss. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
So tell me about this love story. Corporations have ended up what? Quite smitten with President Trump and his team.
Yeah, well, one of the weird things is if you look around, most elites from foreign policy to people who specialize in the Constitution, most of them are quite worried about the Trump presidency. But business is completely different. And I think it's fair to say most businesses think it's good for them.
Well, there are the tax cuts that accrued to so many corporations. There's deregulation, which companies tend to adore. But, I mean, it also comes with it protectionism, tariffs that many companies, unless you're one of the companies protected, often worry about.
Yeah, and there's a sort of myopia about it. But as you say, the bigger question is further out, the damage being done to the trade system and also the sheer sense of unpredictability that surrounds the treatment of business and America's relationship with its trading partners.
Well, it can change by day, by hour, when it comes to the Trump administration.
That's right. And it's possible that even if the U.S. does sign new treaties with Mexico or China to cover trade, that they could be ripped up after, you know, 6 months, or if something goes wrong or it doesn't go to plan. So really, that sense of unpredictability is pretty profound, I think.
But beyond just the corporations, there is an internal irony here, isn't there? I mean, this is the corporate establishment liking President Trump. What does that say about the Trump team as anti-establishment forces that want to drain the swamp, the people who are outsiders?
Well, I think you could look at it slightly more broadly and say that what companies like is a Republican-controlled Congress and a president who signs stuff that Congress approves. And arguably, that is to some extent what happened with the tax bill. So I think the assessment companies are making is more that the wilder personality politics, the trade confrontations are simply not damaging enough to offset the benefits of the tax cuts and deregulation. But as we've discussed, that's a calculation one can certainly criticize and find fault with.
Yeah, because it's a bet. It's a gamble.
You know, our assessment at The Economist is businesses have greatly underestimated the long-term costs, both in terms of this idea of a new compliance super state scrutinizing how companies interact with the rest of the world. So there's all sorts of bills going through Congress and new rules being set up that will be swarming all over companies for years to come, both in terms of that cost and then also the sort of general sense of unpredictability and damage being done to long-term alliances.
Patrick Fowles is New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Affair, Why Corporate America Loves Donald Trump, is his cover story over there. Now, speaking of changing global alliances, we're also covering the expected announcement today that the U.S. will in fact impose tariffs on European, Mexican, and Canadian steel and aluminum. Retaliation will follow. One analyst now thinks Trump has a better working relationship with the premier of China than he does with European leaders. The Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed, if you missed that on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.